Blog Talk Radio.
In the review behind the scenes, and tonight, guys, this is the Writing Corner, and my name is Michelle Cohen Jordan. I'm one of your hosts. Jamie White is joining me, and tonight we're chatting with the awesome CP Biolois. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey.
That's nice. Doing good yourself?
I'm actually doing pretty good. You know, I'm living on the edge today, everywhere I go, but I mean, I'm doing pretty good. So, you know, having a great day. And so it's another Writing Corner, so I'm excited. And I love to hear what you may have on tap. Guys, I always say that, you know, CP's got some psychic things going on because usually whatever he talks about, I would have experienced doing this week. So I am excited to jump in. So, CP, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, I thought we discussed a little bit last time. Here we go back to some of the building blocks, some of the, you know, older topics of the show to refresh
mm-hmm.
them. And today I figured for, you know, when you get to the building blocks, you really can't, you know, go anywhere without deciding which, you know, which point of view you want to write in. You know, you have first, you have second, you have third, just, you know, for the basics. And to be honest, I'm one, when it comes to second, I'm not a fan of second point of view because it's just annoying. Because in that point of view, you write it, think of it as the Choose Your Own Adventure books, where
mm-hmm.
instead of saying I, he, she, it, you know, it's always, you know, you. You walk through the door and look around the room. I mean, it's always you, and it's, for me, it kind of gets annoying after a while, but there
mm-hmm.
are people that love it, and it works great for them, and, you know, everything Teach Your Own On says, I mean, it does work great if you do like to choose your adventure books. Because
mm-hmm.
it does help pull you into it because you're part of the adventure thing. Because it doesn't say names. It doesn't say Garrett Brown or, you know, or Barnaby Jones or anything like that. It actually, you know, just says you. You know, it's like, that's probably one of the better ones of pulling that reader in. So if you do want to, like, say, a mystery or, like I said, choose your own adventure or kind of some kind of children's book or any kind of, if you really want to pull the reader in, like, drag them in into the story. And that's a really good one to use because, again, you... That's it. It just basically brings you in because you are you. You know, I know that sounds really weird, but, you know, it's just the thing is, it's kind of difficult to pull it off because if you do every sentence, you know, because you're basically, it's almost like use the first person where you always use I, but instead of I, it's you. So it's always, you walked in, you saw this, you did that, you did, and sometimes it's good to kind of maybe change it up a little bit. You know, like, say, like, looking around, you see something shining in the corner of the floor. You know, it's like something like every night you want to try to change it up a little bit like that. So it kind of breaks the rhythm because we always get a rhythm and when we're writing something. And it just kind of
mm-hmm.
breaks through and just changes it just a slight little bit, keeps it a little fresher. You know, the only, you know, problem like you said is, you know, how many times can you put you in a story? I mean, depending on who you talk to, you have sort of people that say you only use the word X number of times or whatnot. I mean, for pretty much everything you can use as much as, you know, you feel works for your story. And in that regard, you kind of have to use you a lot. Like you, like, so you're the first person, you do I. Another one really pulls people into it because, you know, they're I, they're, you know, facing the character, right, the right side of the character's head. So it's really kind of hard not to use the word. You can't avoid it so much. But
I've never read one. I guess it would have to be a children's book or something. Do you know of any that pull that off?
I know a friend of ours read a few of them. He said there's one he read that actually, the only he read that did it well. To my knowledge, all I know is the adventure, Future and Adventure books.
Yeah.
I had a G.I. Joe one when I was a kid. I had one where, two kids, a brother and one kid and a younger brother basically find a room in a doorway in their attic and go to a world of dragons and things like that. So, yeah, outside of Choose Your Adventure, I haven't read it in anything.
Mm-hmm.
We did have to write like that for a challenge our one writer's group, and I kind of pulled it off, but it was just kind of annoying because I was trying to find different ways to say it without always having to say, you did that, because I always say, if it's third person, I say the man, the woman, the sheriff,
mm-hmm.
something like that. I always use kind of another descriptor besides their name, or he, or she. But, in that one, I was kind of stuck with just you, so it was just, so I was trying to find different ways, but I know there are books out there like that. I just personally haven't read any outside of Choose Your Own Adventure books or kids' books.
You're right. Now that we're focusing on it and thinking about it, I'm thinking with the first person, we do say I a lot, but for whatever reason, it's not as intrusive. Because I can imagine reading a story and it's always you that would drive me up a wall, I think. But but now, there's a challenge out there, guys, right? Try that out. So it's first person, the second person, and the third, right? And then it gets even more detailed after that, right? Then there's omniscient. I can't say the word. Say the word for me.
Omniscient.
And then limited and all of that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, each one has its own subcategories. Just for me, second person almost looks like it almost has to be like a limited type of thing. And by limited, in any of the categories, it means you only see through the character's point of view. Like, say, Harry Potter's perfect example, you only see or know what that main character's point of view that you're in sees and knows. So nothing else. I mean, you can, like the character, if you see, someone you don't like run around the corner down the street, the character may think he's up to no good, so you'll think he's up to no good. And
right.
You can actually disagree with him, but you don't know anymore. But you don't know that kid might be, running to get help. You don't know the kid might have just mugged somebody. You don't know that. So it's a good one that you like to use for mysteries, especially because it focuses just strictly on the detective. So it kind of limits it to, you only see and know what they do. So when they're in peril, you feel you're in peril. You're sitting in the edge of your seat. You're chewing your fingernails. You're cussing at the bad guys when they get the drop on things like that, because you're kind of rusty. Just like in second person where you're pulled into it and limited, especially in first person, you're pulled kicking and screaming at that person's point of view whether you want to or not. I mean, you see what they see. You feel what they feel. And you can sit there and say, well, this is going to affect me. You're going to feel it because it really pulls you in and it locks you into it. It doesn't really give you an escape clause or anything or any escape way, escape hatches out of it. You're in that person's point of view, so it really pulls you into the story. And like I said, cussing and fussing doesn't matter. You're gonna enjoy it, end up being pulled into it and enjoying it. Usually. At least I hope someone would be. That's limit. That's what a lot of first person is written in, because obviously if you say I, you're not gonna be talking about Jake across the room.
Right.
The main character is looking at him, it's like I say, like, oh, I just saw, I saw Jake walk in. You're obviously not going to know what Jake's thinking. You're just not. I mean, we can't really read each other's minds. So that's kind of the best way to look at it. It's like you have no clue what everyone else is thinking or what else is doing. It's outside what you see. And it can be challenging. So now for myself, when I try to write it, just say in third person, excuse me, in first person, I think it's easier. In third person, I leave a lot of details out. Because, again, you only have that scope of what that person sees or knows. And for me, it's not like a good story device, but for me, I just feel like I'm leaving so much out that I'm cheating myself, I'm cheating the readers and everything, so it's like, it's enjoyable, but you really have to be married to it. You have to really be a great storyteller with it to be able to pull off the interest. I mean, I love mysteries. I wish I could really write a good mystery.
Yeah.
I haven't as yet. I'm pretty much all my things have kind of been shallow. When I've tried it, straight up mystery, they've been really shallow. You know, so that is one of my goals at some point, to have a mystery out there. So, mm-hmm. and if people can do it, like, I love Sue Grafton. You know, mm-hmm. her alphabet series is awesome. I love J.K. Mm-hmm. Rowling. Her Harry Potter series is awesome. And that's, like, mm-hmm. limited. And that's, Sue Grafton is more of a first-person way.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Potter is a third-person. You know, and Sue Grafton is always, like, I, me. You know, and Harry Potter is always Harry. Harry or he, you know, so it's the two different kinds of. So there's a little differential. So if you, then when you switch to third person, while they all have the different points of view, I haven't figured out how to use them in the others. Like in third person, you have limited and omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't figured out, and I don't even know if it exists. I've heard people tell me it does, but I haven't seen it. But a first and second person omniscient, and omniscient is, the best way to describe it is your God's point of view. You
okay.
see everything in the room. You know everything. You know, see everyone in the world. You know what everyone's going, what's going on in the world. You know what everyone's thinking in the world. Yeah, you have access to everything.
Okay,
you know,
see,
think
I
of like
that.
The Lord of the Rings series. You kind of, you
put
kind
on
of,
my tear.
Kind of back. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of cool in a way. It can be overwhelming because you know, oh yeah. You know, like, it can be overwhelming. Like if you have so many characters, you want to tell the stories because then you have to figure out how to tell it.
True.
But one way
True.
For omniscient, you know, like in the best, one of the classic examples is the Lord of the Rings series, where it's almost a storyteller point of view. Where so, you know, someone's mm-hmm. thinking a campfire story, where someone's telling it to you. Lord of the Rings is kind of the same way, where it's basically sitting back and almost, you know, well, Frodo, you know, this happened to Frodo, and just kind of just giving an overview, almost like a play by play. You know,
I think I've seen some movies like that, like not Stephen King, but you know, kind of like. There was one about it's a sad one. The girl, it was a couple of years ago, the girl died or something, was murdered or something like that. So it was like, and she was telling her story. I know that's weird. Something the bones or something like that. You know, it was a sad one. I don't look at it, but I happen to see pieces of it. So maybe if, you know, would that be the same thing? But she wouldn't know what's in everybody's mind, would she? So I don't know. I'm sorry,
well,
I was just thinking about.
If they're going back and telling the story, it is a form of omniscient. Like, say, if you have a story like someone's dead, and they're saying,
right.
well, this is how I died, and then they go back and tell the story, you know, you can
mm-hmm.
use the argument there where as an angel or, you know, as a ghost, they would know everything.
They may
happened.
Know, yeah.
So that's kind of a little the storytelling mechanism there. Like, you have, I mean, I think Twilight Zone was a big one on that one. That's like, I'm like, the storytelling, like, well, he doesn't know what's in store for him, but we're going to find out today. And that's the same type you'd have in those stories where it's like, oh, hello, I am, you know, Thomas Lackler, and today is the day I died.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
oh,
and then
my
you
gosh.
Kind of wait for the story.
Kind of...
You know,
yeah.
So it can kind of go back and forth. I mean, you can do it omniscient. Yeah, I'm getting tongue-tied. You can use it as an omniscient, or you can even, after you introduce it like that, you can also switch it into first person or second person, anything
yeah.
like that, or even a limited, like, you know, you're just teasing it. You know, so you don't have to keep it in that when you say, okay, this day I died, and it's like, okay, he's telling the story, how is he telling it? Is he going to be like, you know, is it strict for his point of view? And even then, at some points in it, he can actually say, well, I didn't know this was going to happen yet. You know, kind of like a little,
right.
I forget the actual term, but it's almost like foreshadowing. And it's something
yeah.
you don't see too often anymore, because it's kind of hard to pull off, because you do get mixed up in that, because at what
That's
point
confusing.
Do you want to have it, you know, walk the line to keep it, to, like, let people wonder when your character's going to run into issues and when do you
mm-hmm.
want to, you know, give it away? When do you want to surprise them? When do you want to have them prepared? I say, well, if he,
but,
you know, well, did he know this is the last time he's going to talk to his wife? Well, okay, well, you know he's going to die in the next scene or two.
Yeah, see, that's,
you know?
I think that would be tricky. You know, and it could have been because, you know, like I said, I didn't really, it's been so long and I didn't look at it all the way through. She may have just been talking about the part she knew. So you're right, it probably was more limited. Now, wouldn't, by just reason of default, wouldn't that always be limited pretty much?
Yeah, I would think so. I have to say, like I said, some people have told me they know of a first-person omniscient. I can't imagine how. Like you said, you are sucking him into that one point of view, unless you are a being that can actually read everyone else's mind, like you're an alien or whatever that can read
yeah.
everyone's mind in that one, and even then it's kind of flirting with it. It's not like really true omniscient, you know, so it's like, people
yeah.
told me it's there. I haven't actually seen it myself. The same with
yeah.
second person. I've heard of second person omniscient. I don't know how, because This is the part that's going to get me into trouble. I think where the confusion comes in, because if you switch from point of view, whether it's first person, second person, or third person, like limited, you usually use a scene break or chapter break. Like sometimes say chapter's name, say first chapter is like Rebecca, second chapter is Tilda, third chapter is Max. And each chapter kind of tells you who it is, or they'll have like just a scene for like asterisks or spears or just a couple of double spaces between the sections to let you know, okay, this is someone else's point of view now. And over the last few years, that's actually been confused and called omniscient when it's really not. It's actually just another, it's actually another form of limited. If you want to take it further, it's, a multiple selective. Because you're actually using multiple points of view and you're selecting which ones. But it's really
so
a kind of a limited
selective.
Yeah,
okay.
It's kind of the same thing. It's really each one is at one person's point of view and it's locked into their point of view. So it's still technically limited, but
yeah.
The main difference is if you use multiple selective, and sorry everybody, I know I'm throwing terms out there. Sorry about confusing everybody. But like I said, limited, you only know what the person knows. And multiple selective, it's kind of a mission because you know what's going on in the scene around them. But it's still to the person's point of view.
I think that's the one I like the best, which is the scene where mainly it's in different chapters. And guys that are listening, just flow with this because my mind is whirling too. But it makes sense if you think about it. You know, the books where it's different chapters, Sam, Joe, Bob, and so – it is it in the eye. So, okay, I'm gonna put it in a way that I'm thinking that you're saying too. It's me, you, and Jamie. We got our own chapters. Yeah. So I'm telling my story. You know, Jamie's telling her story, and CP's telling his story. So you're finding out as the reader everybody's story, but it's still only being told from their point of view in their chapters. Is that correct? Can I say yes? Sorry. I am so excited because that has always been a tough thing for me. It really has. The voices and all of that. And, you know, when I very, 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 very first started, it was a lot of head hopping, you know. And so the only way to stop myself from head hopping, and guys, what that is you're jumping into everybody's point of view. That is why it is difficult for me, and I am just putting it out there, it is difficult for me to write a chapter and it switches within that chapter. I, at this point right now, really do need to do the separate chapters because it's confusing. Even with the little asterisks or the little separations I've seen, but you have to keep in mind, I read a lot of young adults. And a teen, and they tend to be broken up like that anyway. So I think that could just be what I read. But, and it's just tough for me. So, because to me, I feel like I'm head hopping. So anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take over, but I just wanted to clear it up because I knew what you were saying, and I just, well, you know, I was just giving an example. But that is very cool. And, yes, you did it again. I have been thinking about points of view because I've started Isadora, which is a second to Tormentin, and I was attempting today, see, he is psychic. No, we do not plan this. I was trying to figure out how I wanted her voice to be. You know, I kept trying to push it third person limited. And guys, I believe, CP, please tell me if I'm right. Third person limited is Isadora does this, Isadora does that, but you only can see what Isadora's doing, right? You know, only in that one little scene. Is that correct?
Right. It's basically us walking down the street. What do we see, hear, smell, and know? And that's it. That you're kind of limited. That's why it's limited, because you're limited to that vessel.
Wow. Okay, and then the other one would be the omniscient, when you can just kind of, third person, but you can see everything. Which one does publishers like?
Oh, limited. I mean, publishers want limited. I mean, it's actually, and here's why I'm going to get in trouble again. But, you know, because I prefer omniscient, because just like I said, if you read The Sword and the Flame, not Sword and the Flame, sorry, if you read The Lord of the Rings, that's omniscient. That's
right.
There's actually two forms of omniscient. I'll get to that in a couple minutes, but I just prefer omniscient because for me, limited is if you're walking down, say you're walking through the museum, and you can only look at one painting at the far end of the wall, and you're walking towards it. That's all you see. The other walls
right.
all like grayed out, and all you see is a painting straight ahead, and you're walking towards it. For me,
mm-hmm.
omniscient is multiple paintings on both walls, and as you're walking, like, okay, this one's cool, that one's cool, so this one's, you know, it's kind of taking in everything. It's seeing the forest and the trees, you know, the forest and the tree, not just the tree. You know, because then through that tree, you know, and limited through the tree, you see the forest, if that makes any sense.
Yes,
you know, so.
Yes. But how do you pull that off unless you just have a storyteller or a narrator? If you're doing omniscient
well,
and it's third person, that's a storyteller, right? Or a narrator.
Right. Well,
wouldn't that be the only way?
There's a second part of omniscient that came around about, was actually officially created the last couple of years. One is objective. That's the one that's the Lord of the Rings where you kind of sit back like a god view, and it's like another
mm-hmm.
person telling you the story type of thing. You
mm-hmm.
get a subjective, and that's where you actually go into each different character's heads. You know what they're thinking, you know what they're feeling. It's not really a third person telling the story. You're actually living the story through them and through their actions and the world around them. Now, the trick with
wow.
that is what a lot of people fall into is they will want to show the point of view of every character, and you can't do that. I mean, you can show a lot of characters' point of view, but they have to move the scene and the story forward. You can't just, if you have, say, Shane, Billy, and Joseph, you know, going camping, you can't just pop into Joseph's head to tell a story about when he's 5 years old just because you want to tell a story because he's 5 years old. You know, it's got to be something, if you go to their point of view, it has to move the story forward. It can't just be just because, you know, they're in the scene, they have to have something to say.
Stephen
you
King.
Can actually do it, and, you know, so you can, you know, you can actually sit, you know, keep it in there and focus on one character or even two characters. You don't have to go to the third character. Sometimes you have to do the other two characters, and it gets confusing with limited a lot, because a lot of times you are focused mainly on that one person for most of it, and then here or there you jump into another point of view. But, you know, without warning, you go into it, and really the warning is basically saying a person's name or handing them to someone's head. Like, they scratch their nose, they shake their head, they smile, they nod. Because that's showing it's their head. Okay, now the point of view is through them. You know, so it's a little subtle tricks, but I mean that's a subjective one, and it does get confused with limit a lot, and it is termed head hopping, and technically, head hopping is you have multiple points of view in the same paragraph.
So
you
it's
know,
in the same paragraph. Okay.
Yeah, it's just been taken and adapted as a derogatory term towards omniscient by the powers that be that don't want people writing in omniscient. Yeah, so
okay.
And that's where I'm going to get into trouble.
Yeah. Okay. So going back to the omniscient, the third person, and the reason I said Stephen King, because I'm thinking Stephen King, that's how he used to write, correct? You had kind of a all-knowing narrator or whatever, but they were all – but to tell the story, he was in the different heads of these people, correct? Because
mm-hmm.
they usually were connected somehow to the story. Or the mystery, you know, whatever the situation was. So that's what made me think of Stephen King. But with the, and I really am interested in this, why I'm kind of dwelling into this. With the subjective, so you're saying that the two difference between the objective and the subjective, the narrator is able to see Jamie pick up the pencil, CP drink from the glass, Michelle scratch her head. But he doesn't know what they're thinking. The subjective, they're seeing all of this, plus they can give you the reason why Jamie's doing this, CP's doing this. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Not really. No, they both of them, they know everything that's going on. But objective
right.
is just saying, it's like saying, oh, I hope I get out of this, thought Paul, and it's not in italics. Subjective actually takes you into their heads. You still see everything going around. You can, one paragraph will be Paul's point of view, what he's thinking. But the next thing could be the overall scope of the room, like what's happening, like the explosion happens behind him because something, you know, the bomb ticked down and detonated, or he had to shorten the wall. So you still have that ability to be able to pull out of the head. It's kind of going into heads and pulling out. You know, so you actually, because objective is because you're deeper perspective. You actually go into their heads, you feel what they're doing, but you're not trapped there. You're not just limited to what they do. And you don't need a scene break to pull out of it. Objective, you're a fly on the wall on objective. You see everything, and that's what you're reporting. You know, it's
I've seen
like
that.
A security
oh,
camera.
My gosh. Okay, so Jamie's in the room. She's picking up the glass. I'm picking on Jamie a lot. You know, she's, you know, writing the next chapters of my favorite book. And she's doing this, and I'm seeing it. And I'm seeing it around her. So I'm telling you about it. just paragraph, she's, but you just said, am I able to say what Jamie's thinking at the same time in objective? I know what she's thinking. I'm just not in her thoughts. Is that correct?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you can say what you're thinking. The difference is objective. You don't italicize the thoughts because it's not, you're not deep in the character. You italicize that, personalizes the character. And that's like the biggest difference. It's like that's objective. You have the same perspective, but it's not a third person telling the story. It's almost like observations around them, but you can get inside their heads. Objective, you know what they're thinking, but it's like, I'm telling you, hey, he's thinking about stealing that car. You know, it's like,
okay.
And it's kind of like, that's kind of different. Like where you're in, an objective, like, I'm thinking, he's thinking of stealing the car. It's like, I'm thinking of stealing this car, thought Rob, looking around sheepishly.
I see what you're saying.
Italics. If you do it, like, objective, it's like, I'm gonna steal this car, thought Rob,
right.
And I'm gonna steal this car as an italics because you're actually in
I
his
get
head.
You.
Yeah, it's just
okay.
Yeah, so that's really the only difference between the two.
That is incredible. So, going back to like the publishers and everything, they would say that you said that it has been mentioned as head hopping when they're in the different heads, but that was just, it was distorted, that particular view, because that's really not head hopping when you see it. So why do the publishers not like that?
Well, this is just my opinion. It's what I've seen over the last few years and everything. It's like, omniscient used to be the popular one. It's what everyone used.
Right.
Then it got, everyone's like, well, the readers want to be more in touch with the characters. They want to be more, attacked. They want to know what they're thinking.
Okay.
They want to feel for them. So, okay, we're going to do this, and this is the only thing we're going to be accepting. And that's when you get the gatekeeper mentality where you have this neat little box. And now everyone's got to go in this neat little box.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because also you figure for costs and for editors, it's easier to have people to edit something that it's just limited. Okay, it's this one. Okay, straightforward, and actually have to sit there and look at omniscient and figure out, okay, is this omniscient? Is this true omniscient? Is it objective? Is it subjective? And it can be confusing, especially if different people will see things differently.
Right.
Omniscient is almost a little bit more subjective. Limited, you're here. You're in this character's head. That's it. This whole point of view is this character, and that's simpler to edit. You don't have to worry about, you see someone else's thoughts, like, if you're in, say, Jody's point of view, and all of a sudden Luann's thought pops in, like, oh, nope, that's going to come out. That line's out. You don't even have to think about it. It's like, it's just easier. It's more timely. I hate to say this, it's less thought-provoking in a way because you don't have to think. Yeah,
you don't have to think because it's just there.
It tells you who it is. It's taking you by the hand and guiding you down the hall. It's like you're a blind person. It's like, it's helping guide you. It's simpler, it's faster, it's easier. You don't have to think as much. You can kind of fall asleep and what it is. Whereas in the mission, you have to at least pay some kind of attention to it. Because, if you don't, you sit there, wait a second, when did he come in the room? Or when did he say that? And you kind of go back and it's, oh, right here, okay. Because it's fine. It's like that mental switch. It's like I look at the difference between watching TV and using something for background sound. Like, say, Doctor Who, the perfect example, is Stephen Moffat. If you're watching it, you'll catch it.
Uh-huh.
If you're not watching it, you're going to miss half the show. Even though you hear it, you're not going to catch the subtleties. And that's
not at all.
The difference between background noise and actually, paying attention to it. Again, that comes down to each person's, perspective, what they prefer to do. And it's like, whatever works for you, works for you. I mean, that's, I'm more proud to you. Good luck. Hope it works. If you want to try something else, try it. You never know what will happen. You might find something else you love.
Very cool.
For me, it's just more fun.
Because it has the nuances and the differences and the changes, right? That's why you prefer the omniscient.
Like I said, for me, it just flows better. I can actually sit there and do the chapter. Because one thing that has always bothered me, and I've done this, and I felt bad doing this, but if I'm doing a section where it's this guy's point of view and this happens and he sees, say, this house is on fire and they break down the door and they can't find the bodies, and then you have the scene break or chapter break, and next scene, okay, you got the person in the house, the fire starts, he has to grab the kid, and so you're kind of, and get out of the house, and it's kind of like rehashing like the last half of the previous section.
Okay.
Just from a different point of view. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, just for me, I kind of look at it and kind of, okay, and maybe you can say it's a little laziness or something because, do I want to keep doing that every time? Every now and then it's cool because, it's the only way you can tell that scene. Other times it's like, okay, if I do this every single scene, you know, am I going to go crazy? Am I going to punch myself out? And, you know, just, am I readers going to go nuts? I mean, you kind of sit and you just kind of wonder about that because after a while it's like you get in that repetitive motion. So every time you do a scene, it's like, okay, well, here comes the scene break. So now we'll see what, you know, what Tommy did in the back shed now. And then like the half hour second catching up to where the other one ended. And then it's like, you know, another page or half a page. And it goes back to the other point of view that sometimes, you know, covers what he was doing during that second part of the other one. So it's kind of constantly overlapping. So while
very
it
cool.
can be effective, it can also be a little just, you know, tiring depending on your point of view. Like, so for me, if I do it constantly, I start getting a headache because I'm like, okay, now I just feel like I'm just wasting words. I'm wasting space. You know, like then you look at, okay,
wow.
do I really need to see this scene? That's when you look at the scene. Do I need this scene? Or can it actually, okay, if you find the person in the back and they say they escaped, you kind of assume what happened. And does that add a little suspense of something? They left something in there. Why'd they leave it? You know, that's like, okay, that's something you can do later on. So I kind of look at it that way. It's like, okay, are these scenes needed now? Could I do this differently? You know, and then I end up taking the scene out, then it's just flowing straight. I'm like, okay, it just didn't work on that one. You know, just straight up admission worked better in that regard. So I'm like, okay. You know, it depends how you want to tell your story. If you want to actually have all the points of view known, then you can do that, you know, instead of just going from one person to another, because real time, a house burning can be a massive problem in language, but a massive pain in the ass. You know, any battle clear, you kind of want to focus on one person for a stretch and then another person, because if you're going from paragraph, it's a massive pain to write, to control, to plan, and then to read it. It can just be a pain going bam, bam. You know, because you want to focus on one person at least for a few beats. You know, so, I mean, it depends how you want to do it. Like, if you want to show the scenes or whatnot. And that's a tough choice, deciding if you actually want to show these scenes. Because there are scenes I've loved, and I'm like, nah, this just doesn't work. I love this, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know,
and that is an artist to me. I mean, that weaving, that waving that you could do. Because like I said, I do the chapter, you know, and the one person. And because I have to still learn that ability to be able to mix them in. So you're right, it is simplified, which is what I need. I'm still in the training wheels. But I think with you, you know, the way you're able to weave, that to me really true shows a person that is, I call it an artist. You know, I mean, that's just no really other way to say it. You know, just a person that is that comfortable with, and you can hear it as you speak now, as you are talking about it. You know, this is not just a textbook thing that you know, and I am going to ask you that, and I know we're all out of time, but I am going to ask you one more question. But you know it, and it's just, you're weaving it. It's like you use it as your tool, the words, and I just think that is gorgeous. I just think that's a beautiful thing. And my question is, how in the world, seriously, do you learn all of this? I mean, you know, it's just, you know, you knew, okay, yes, this is a new thing. It just happened. I mean, and you, every time I speak with you, you know, or you guys come on, you know another little tidbit about this and that. How do you come up? How do you take classes? Do you, more than like, you seem like you do constantly read and ingest that. And I think that's awesome because, you know, I've heard many people say you do need to learn your craft, guys, and this is proof of it. So what do you do?
Well, this is going to be such, it's going to sound like such a cop-out, but probably 95% of it is actually through, you know, just reading stories, like how to tell the story, what to do. I mean, you just kind of learn it. I forget the term, osmosis. It's kind of like osmosis.
Are
you serious? Keep experiencing, you keep reading it. You just kind of pick up, like, the feel. How does the story feel? How does this art going to feel? How do we just, you kind of just get little ideas. You just automatically kind of learn that. And the other 5% is I learned because I got yelled at. I asked so many people, oh, you're head hopping. Oh, you're an effing idiot. Oh, this isn't a mission. Oh, you know what you're doing. So I'm looking up everything on a mission. I'm looking up everything on the link. The fastest way for me to learn something is to have someone yell at me and attack me on it. Because I will go, I will do my research, and within 5 to 10 minutes, I will have ammunition to use back at you. I don't open my mouth unless I know what I'm talking about. Like, I'll just sit there quietly and let things go. If I know what I'm talking about, and I will say something, and then it's like, okay, if you prove me wrong, I'm wrong. But you've got to prove me wrong. You got to sell me on that idea, because I will sit there. Well, listen, it's this, this, and this. So how is it this or whatever? And that's, you know, that's usually when I get so technical about it, because I'm like, okay, you say it's wrong. Okay, research time. Spending an hour on Google. Just read article after article after article. And it's like, I mean, like I said, it's like, that's the best way I learn something. If I get yelled at for it, if I get attacked for it, I'm like, okay, you know what? I want to be able to defend myself. I don't want to just sit there and keep taking right hook after right hook. I want to deliver a couple haymakers myself. I want to be able to block those shots. So it's like, okay, I'm going to study this. That's like, that's most of it's from reading, but then I learn like the terms and how to use it, just, you know, to actually explain how to use it just by doing my own research. Because, you know, I get tired of getting yelled at. Okay, here we go. Now it's even playing field. You know, if you want to step up, okay, by all means, you know, we can have a discussion. You know, so I just want to be able to sit there and actually hold my own and not look like, you know, like say you have a kindergartner pops out something and says something they heard your parents say, and then the adults kind of watch it the next hour and a half on quantum physics. Well, how's kindergarten quantum physics? He said something his dad or his friend's, you know, his friend's uncle or whatever said, just repeated, and now he's getting a lecture, and the kids are saying, peeing their pants or whatnot. You know, so I kind of like leveling the playing field. That's my main thing. I studied it because I wanted to know what I was talking about. I wanted to be able to defend myself. And if I was wrong, I wanted to know if I was wrong. And what I did, how can I correct it if I am wrong? You know, so that's one thing. Like I said, it's like we never stop learning. I mean, it's like I can know all this stuff. I can be able to apply it, but I never stop learning. There's always something new that I need to learn or something I screwed up and it's got to get fixed. I mean, it happens. We always keep learning. We have to keep willing to learn. And, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like it's really about, you know, are we confident in what we do? Are we doing this? Are we writing stories that we're comfortable to write? Are we writing stories we want to read? And are we happy with how we wrote it? You know,
cool.
We can always make tweaks on it. We can always make critiques. But as long as we're happy, why don't we go for it? You know, it's like just like you get into writing. You get into writing to entertain. You get into writing to make some money. You know, if you get into entertainment, you have a lot more fun. You know, no one likes getting up at 5 in the morning to go to work.
No.
You know, if you're looking at writing, it's just work. You know, a lot less fun than if you're just doing it because, you know, you want to read these stories. You want to share these stories. You have more fun.
Right.
You'll learn more. And that's just kind of,
I like that.
You know, it's more, I find that people that are in it to just actually enjoy themselves and to write for the fun of writing, actually learn more and are more open to learning and not.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of look at myself. I can't be opinionated. I can't sit there and like, oh, really? Oh, I want to hear your logic in this one. You know, I'll sit there, okay, I got to hear this. You know, I want to hear the argument, but, okay, if I'm wrong, great. If it's a good plan, okay, you got it. I'll bite my tongue, you know, I'll lick my wounds. You know, I'll go off and research. We'll see. You know, I'll give it benefit that you might know something I have no clue about. Okay, great. You know, and that's about it. We just got to be open to learning, you know, find what works for us, and you know, if it works, great. You know, then just own it. Don't, you know, it's, you know, be stand by what we decide to do, and have fun with it.
Well, I tell you, I did actually, and that was why, and guys, I thank you for bearing with me, because I know I was asking, and I'm talking to those that are listening, and we're over time, but the reason I was asking so many questions, because this has always been a confusing topic for me. I've gotten better over the years, understanding it a little bit, so tonight, sometimes things begin to click, and it was clicking when CP was talking. And that excited me because I was getting it. And so the questions helped me to say, aha, I got it. So I learned something, and I'm not joking when I say I do learn something. Okay, bear with me really quick. Jamie, what do you usually do? I know we're a little over time, but I am curious, and then we'll go back to CP and tie it up and end, but I'm curious.
What do you do? What style do you write?
What do I do? What?
Your style.
Sorry, some technical issues here.
Yeah.
Yeah, what style do you write?
Oh, usually I have it from the main character's point of view.
Okay.
Yeah. Usually I have I do kind of like a limited. I've been, especially in this new series, I've kind of been going a lot more, like, back and forth in, like, different chapters and scenes from, like, one character to another.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing more of a limited style.
Because I'm thinking about the story. And, you know, I can follow what you're saying because, you know, I've read, you know, your story. And, yeah, but you do it well. The switch, it doesn't confuse at all. Yeah, it doesn't confuse at all. And, CP, last question, and we're tying it up now. My question, and Jamie hinted on it just now really quick when she said, and that was what was in my head, what about if you switch chapters and you switch voices? Here, unlimited, I mean, not here, limited, third person. Here, I, here, whatever. Can you do that, or is that just, no? Is that a big no?
Sure, why not?
Don't do that.
You know, I mean, why not? One book I read that a little was by Eric Sweat, his very first apocalypse book. Parts with the angel were in first person, but the other parts were in third person. So,
okay.
You know, why not? I mean, if you're up for it and you can, you know, feel so nice, smooth, and cohesive like that, and you separate them, by all means, why not? Go for it.
All right.
Actually,
cool.
Kind of thought that story was kind of cool for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, nice
like
change
that.
Of pace,
yeah.
You know?
I
said, we don't expand ourselves if we don't expand the boundary and step out of the comfort zone. That's like I said, that you have a little box, step out of the box. You never know what will happen. It could be something great. If it doesn't work, okay, backtrack. If it works, fantastic. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
I think I'll stretch my
wings
now.
I thought it was very
now.
Unique and fun.
You know, James Patterson does that a lot, too, with he will do the third person limited, but then, like, his killers or the mystery, you know, the people you're trying to figure out who they are, they're always like, and I, you know, the first person. So that he does that too somewhat. But, okay, well, guys, audience, thank you for listening. This really was I look at this as a very good show because I think when you get into the topic and you lose yourself in your topic and you really, really are learning something because this is what the show is for, then I think it's a great show. So, CP, you know, we're wrapping it up. What do you want the listeners to know? And then also let them know where they can touch base with you.
Well, the biggest thing I said, you never stop learning. If you want to try a different point of view or a different style, by all means, go for it. You know, the worst that can happen is it doesn't work out. You know, try it, give it a shot, works great. If not, okay, go back to something else. You know, never stop trying, never stop learning. You know, and if you look for me, if you can find me on my website, cpbialois, cpbialois.wordpress.com. If for whatever reason it doesn't come up or you can't find my books or my other links on there, just plug it into Google. I'm the only one in existence. You'll find me all over the place. I got like 20 pages for myself.
All about him. I love that one. And Jamie, where can everyone touch base with you as well?
I have everything linked on my site, jamielwhite.com, JamieLwhite.
All right, and guys, thank you so much, all that are listening for, you know, we did go over a little bit, but I think it was such good, meaty, juicy information. These are the basics, and CP wasn't joking, to good writing. You know, Jamie and CP are both excellent writers, they're editors as well, so please take this, learn it, really, really, really. If you get this, you have sound writing, you know, at the beginning. So, all right, guys, that is it. Make sure that you will look for Jamie and I on the Weekend Edition. We are going to be going into the writer's mind. Yes, I think we may be, knocking on some doors of some authors out there that may not be aware of it, and we're going to, you know, find out what they're doing. It's one of those shows. I love those, you know. You just kind of call them up, and they're like, what? So it's going to be one of those. So make sure you look for that. On the 13th, we will be chatting with author Mike Posner. And then on the 20th, I will be chatting with author Sybil Nelson. Those are the Weekend Editions. So make sure you look forward to all of that. CP Bialois will come back next month. And also look for The Darker Side of Romance. Guys, we are bringing you great great things in entertainment. All right, have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for all the new listeners and all the people that are sharing. I'm beginning this. We're seeing the likes and we're seeing the shares and we're seeing you visit the page. Thank you. Thank you. Please chat with us. You can call. We want you to call in or we want you to leave a message. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. Thank you so much. Why? Because you deserve
Bye.
It. Have a good one, guys. Bye. Bye, Jamie. Bye, CP. Thanks again. Great information.
No problem.